And entering the house, they found the child with Mary, his mother. And falling down, they worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear friends, today we celebrate here in England the solemnity of the Epiphany, mainly because most of you would not be able to make it on tomorrow, which is the actual feast day, January 6th, of the Epiphany. The church commemorates the manifestation, that's what Epiphany means, the manifestation of Jesus, the Son of God, to the Gentiles, in the person of the three Magi from the East, who represent all the nations of the world. Dom Prosper Gardonger, in the book, his book, The Liturgical Year, which is online if you want to use it, it's volume 3, and this is taken from page 122, so if you want to go and read up on Dom Prosper Gardonger, the 19th century liturgist and abbot of Salem, magnificent writing. And I'm going to read you what he says on that page, because it's so good. Then you get a taste of this great feast day. Oh, the greatness of this glorious day on which begins the movement of all nations towards the church, the true Jerusalem. Oh, the mercy of our Heavenly Father, who has been mindful of all these people that were buried in the shades of death and sin. Behold, the glory of the Lord has risen upon the holy city, and kings set out to find and see the light. Jerusalem is not large enough to hold all this sea of nations. Another city must be founded, and towards her shall be turned the countless Gentiles of Median and Ephah. Thou, O Rome, art the holy city, and thy heart shall wonder and be enlarged. Heretofore the victories have won thee slaves, but from this day forward thou shalt draw within thy walls countless children. Lift up thine eyes and see all these, that is, the whole human race, given themselves to thee as thy sons and daughters. They come to receive thee, new birth. Open wide thine arms and embrace them that come from north and south, bringing gold and frankincense to him who is thy king and ours. End quote, Dom Prosper Gardonger. My dear friends, that is beautiful writing. And it gives us a sense of what this feast is all about, of course, because it commemorates the coming of the Gentiles to God. Remember, for all these thousands of years, since the days of Abraham and Moses and so on, it was only the Jewish people that were the chosen people who knew about God. All the other nations were pagans, Rome, Egypt, and so on. Everyone was in darkness. Even though they had mighty civilizations, Rome and Greece, they were still in darkness. They didn't know the truth. They didn't know the true God. Only the Jews knew about the true God. But now, everyone. And 2,000 years later, we see the results of what has happened, the beautiful history of our church. Sadly, my friends, I must comment on this, I'm sorry, but sadly, we now have a little retrogression with some of the things that are going on in our ancient city of Rome, with some of the idolatrous things of bringing the Amazon and all these other things to the fore, and listening to the natural world, the pagan world. And remember what the psalmist says, all the gods of the pagans are demons. That's in the Psalms. All the gods are the pagans, are demons. The devil will use religion, all right, to further his beliefs. He will tell God about religion and they'll adore certain deities, but it's all for his purpose. All the gods of the pagans are demons. Now we have the true God revealing himself to the Gentiles, and this in the person of the great Magi, the three kings, Balthasar, Melchior, and Balthasar, Melchior, and Caspar, are magnificent. Magnificent men coming all the way from the land of Persia in the east and looking for the star. And sadly, when you think about it, the Jews have all the information. They have all the information of the child who will be born in Bethlehem, but they can't be bothered to go. Even though the three kings come with their retinue and go there, they don't follow them, they don't go with them. Oh, you let us know and we'll come and adore him. That was Herod. Herod had no willingness to adore the king. He wanted to find out, as you know, where the king was so he could kill him. And that's what the Herods of this world do. They destroy the true God, as it were, in order so that nobody will interfere with their reign and their kingdom. The glory of the revelation of the Gentiles. Arise, be enlightened, O Jerusalem, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is upon thee. Isaiah 61. All they from Saba shall come, bringing gold and frankincense, and showing forth praise to the Lord. Isaiah 66. And in the book of Numbers, from the prophet Balaam, a pagan, where the Magi came from, a star shall rise out of Jacob, and a scepter shall spring up from Israel. And the kings of the earth shall adore him, all nations shall serve him. Psalm 71:11. My dear friends, this is a magnificent feast day, the coming of God to the whole world, manifesting God to the world. And we see it is now fully revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, that the Gentiles are joint heirs, St. Paul tells us, and fellow members of the same body, and joint partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Interesting, I mentioned before about the Amazon. There was a bishop there, I believe, and for 50 years he had been in the Amazon, and he was so proud that he never baptized a single person. Can you imagine such nonsense? This is what we have now with the modernists. They think all religions are the same, every God is wonderful, every religion is fine. But it's not so, my friends. There's only one true religion. And that's why that's what we're glorying in today, in the person of Jesus Christ. Without Christ, there's no light in the world. Without Christ, there's no forgiveness of sins. Without Christ, there's no holy communion in union with Christ, receiving his body and blood. Without Christ, there's no Mass. How can people be so deceived, especially in the church, never baptizing a single person in the Amazon, although he's been spending a missionary lifetime there? And that's very sad, very sad. But it also goes to show you where we're coming from nowadays and how we've lost the faith. We've got to get back to basics. We've got to get back to these wonderful teachings of our faith that haven't changed for 2,000 years. People have changed them in the last few years, but they haven't changed. They're still the absolute truth. And in this time of ecumenism, where we accept everything from other religions, and we don't teach the one true dogma that we know is Catholic dogma, outside the Catholic Church, there is no salvation. How are these people going to be saved without getting their sins forgiven? How are they going to be saved if they're in a church that teaches that homosexuality is all right, divorce is all right, contraception is all right? How are they going to be saved when their religion allows them to do this and to do that? And that's why some of them go to that religion, because it's nice and easy. My dear friends, the Catholic Church is strong and hard. And as I always tell to people, it's a very good faith, a very hard faith in which to live. To live as a Catholic is very hard compared to some other churches, but it's a good faith to die in. You know you're in the right church. You know you can get salvation with Jesus Christ. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life everlasting, and I will raise him up on the last day. Will all these Protestants and all these people who don't have the Eucharist, will they be raised up on the last day? Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you. I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. If anyone eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And if you don't eat of this bread, will you live forever? Don't think so. Unless by some chance you are what we call invincible ignorance. You never heard of Jesus Christ and you don't know about his church. But the Holy Spirit keeps giving people promptings. And if they refuse to listen and delay their movement into the Catholic Church, will they be saved? Right? Maybe they're saying, not now, later on when I get a little older. But who knows what's going to happen when you get a little older? I was just hearing a sermon on Dante. In Dante's Inferno, he talks about purgatory, and how there are many souls in purgatory for a long, long time because they delayed their movement into the Catholic Church. He reckoned that it would be 30 times long. If they waited 10 years, they'd be there for 300 years. All right? So I don't think that's absolute Catholic theology, but I think there's a little grain of truth there. Don't delay. That's presumption. You may not want to enter the church later on. So tell people, now is the time. I tell a lot of spouses, mostly wives who married non-Catholics, get your husband into the Catholic Church. How is he going to save his soul? Right? This is so important. And that's what we have today. The revelation of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And they are Gentiles in a way, because they're not Catholics, and they don't believe. So we believe that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. All right? And we see the Magi falling down and worshiping Christ, having failed to find Christ with the earthly king in Jerusalem. They asked, where is the newborn king? And they don't know, but then they consult the scriptures, and they said in Bethlehem. So they have to leave. They lost the star, as you know. The star disappeared when they came to Jerusalem. Why? Because there was no faith in Jerusalem. The people there did not believe. They had all the scriptures, but they still did not believe. And when they leave Jerusalem, the star reappears. This is one of the most wonderful things about this feast day, my dear friends, in this Christmas season, how God has enhanced this beautiful Christmas story, these beautiful narratives of the Christmas story, with heavenly angels singing glory in God in the highest, shepherds bowing down, shepherds going and telling the people what had happened, to seeing of the angels and how they had adored the newborn king, and so on. And now we have the final climax of this time, the coming of the three kings. Three kings coming with their camels and dromedaries, their retinue. I don't know how many they had, but they certainly must have brought a lot of people with them. You just don't travel hundreds and hundreds of miles, you know, unless you're well prepared, and they were. And they had all kinds of servants and all kinds of helpers, and they bring their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All significant. Gold. They bring gold to him because he's a king. Frankincense, because he's a god, the incense to adore him. And myrrh, because he's a man and he's going to suffer. Oh, what a beautiful story this is. And this heavenly story ends with this particular thing. This, in a way, the Christmas season. We will continue till February 2nd for the most part. But this is a highlight. So we see how these wonderful men, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthasar, all right, come and adore the newborn king. So, my dear friends, we must be imitators of the three wise men. We must be like them. Let's think about these events this Christmas season when we pray the joyful mysteries of the Rosary, especially the third mystery, the birth of Jesus, who is adored and honored by the Gentiles, Gentile world, with gifts of gold for his royalty, frankincense for his divinity and myrrh for his humanity, we too can say with them to Mary, his mother, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Let us not imitate the Herods of this world who are bent on destroying the faith and destroying the child. And of course, the Herods of this world who are destroying the infants in the womb. All right? Terrible suffering we have. And we must never forget what's going on now with the abortion. It seems to be coming to a little bit of a climax. For your information, the largest abortion mill in England closed down on December 12th. It was in Birmingham. 50 years it's been in existence. That's a good sign. The brothers told me that the bishops and many people went to Walsingham and consecrated the pro-life apostolate to Our Lady. And the next thing you know, December 12th, the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe, we see this abortion mill closed down. So good things are happening. So don't give up hope. Keep on praying for those babies, praying for the women, because this is the greatest disaster of our time. Millions and millions of babies have been killed. I think it's over a billion, believe it or not, since the onslaught of the abortion industry 50, 60 years ago. My dear friends, it is horrendous. And these are the same people of Herod's who are bent on destroying Christ, because the devil loves sacrifice, child sacrifice. He wants all the babies killed. Reason why? Because these babies would grow up to adore and praise God and honor God. Right? But somehow or other, I'm sure God is going to bring some good out of this that's going to astound all of us. How could God allow such a terrible thing happen unless he's going to bring a greater good? God does allow evil because men want to do it. Right? Men want to do it. These people don't want these babies, and they're bent on killing them. Right? Sadly, these poor women and men, thinking that they can do away with the life of a baby in the womb. God forbid if our parents had done the same. Where would we be? So God will bring some good out of it. I don't know what the good will be, but he's got to bring some good out of it, because God always brings good out of it. Just for example, so you know, some people might say, how could God allow all these martyrs to die for the faith at the cruelty of these people who kill them, the persecutors who feed them to the lions, cut their heads off, thrust them with swords, burn them at the stake, and so on? Well, God allows them for his glory, because these martyrs show the glory of God, and they will be rewarded with eternal life. So God will bring good, as you know, out of all the martyrs. And by the way, for your information, I was surprised when I read it myself, 12 million Christians were killed during the Roman persecution. 12 million. My goodness. I mean, how? It's unbelievable. We knew there was a lot. I didn't know there were 12 million. It's a lot of Christians. Well, there's many, many more abortions, a billion or so. So God is going to bring some good out of it. And don't forget that. God will always bring good out of the evil men do. So don't lose faith. Keep praying those rosaries. Somehow or other, Our Lady will triumph in the era of peace. She said at Fatima, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. In the end. So we just have to do what she says. Do the first Saturdays. If you're not doing the first Saturdays during these critical times, my dear friends, you're losing out. You must do the first Saturdays. Must. Just like you must pray the rosary. You must pray the rosary, and you must sacrifice. Why do I say that? Because that's what Our Lady said. Pray the rosary. Stop offending God by sin. God is too much offended by sin. Do the first Saturdays. When enough people have done this, the Holy Father will get the grace to consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart, and we will have the triumph of the Immaculate Heart, the greatest era in the Church's history. We will have the most abundant vocations and the greatest saints, my dear friends, in most of our lifetime, because I think the triumph of the Immaculate Heart is right around the corner. We're going to suffer a little bit first, but we're going to see it. The children today will see it. These young people here at church today will see it, all right? Very shortly. I hope also I'll see it. And if we pray a little more and we sacrifice, we will see it too. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart. We will see the good that God, some of the good that God will do during the, to bring out the from the evil of these times. The rest will probably have to wait to get to eternity and see it in heaven. But rest assured, God does not allow evil. Unless, of course, because he can do greater good whatever evil men do.